This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Police recently opened investigations into UMNO Division Chief Datuk Jamal Yunus over an alleged posting on Facebook. The Red Shirts leader allegedly threatened a return to the racially charged days of May 13, 1969. In late September, journalist Sidek Kamiso and Jelutong MP Jeff Uy were also arrested for rude social media postings surrounding the death of PAS leader Datuk Harun Din. These separate incidences all fall under laws governing offensive speech, raising the question, where do we draw the line? Malaysia does not have laws curtailing hate speech, but under the Penal Code, the Communications and Multimedia Act, and the Sedition Act, speech classified as offensive can be prosecuted. Today, we ask Eric Paulson, Executive Director of Lawyers for Liberty, what are the laws that govern punishable or offensive speech in Malaysia?
Broadly speaking, there are several laws in Malaysia that govern offensive speech. The one that is most prominently used is the Sedition Act. Sedition is a particularly arcade law. It is very broad-ranging. It covers speech that is offensive against the administration of justice, against the government, against race and religion. There's also the Communication and Multimedia Act. It talks about communication that is obscene, annoying, and also offensive. So quite broadly drafted. And also, there are some offences in the Penal Code. It covers criminal intimidation, somebody threatening violence, threatening serious bodily harm, and even defamation.
Eric explains that posting threatening comments online is no different from threatening someone in person. When it comes to retweeting or sharing offensive content, however, things are a little more unclear.
Anything that is criminal in nature, generally, there must be some kind of a harm. So, for example, if you were to threaten to beat up someone, to kill someone, to sexually assault someone, that is clearly a criminal in nature, whether it is spoken face-to-face or online. Retweeting is a bit grayer because you are just sharing the information made by someone else. Although it might not per se constitute direct criminal intimidation, for example, if let's say the speech amount to be extremely offensive, I think it can amount to a misuse of the network provider. Numerous people have been arrested for sometimes can amount to quite frivolous comments. So comments that might not be seen to be too threatening, but it somehow have insulted the sensibilities of certain people. So for example, Sidek Kamiso, the journalist was arrested a couple of months ago when he posted a comment on social media on the death of Harun Din. Even though one would think that it's not criminal in nature because, you know, he was making a comment, the authorities deem it to be quite sensitive to certain people, and thus he was arrested and they tried to remind him, but they were not successful.
But social media is a public platform. What about the private ones? Eric explains that there is no distinction under criminal law because offensive content is punishable even with a limited distribution.
I don't think criminal law makes a difference between private or public communication. As long as the message that was forwarded, even to a private group, if somebody within the private group feels offended and lodges a police report, then I don't think it's an excuse or a defense in law to say that this is a private communication. So yes, as long as the communication amounts to something offensive in law, then it can be an offense.
In a 2014 study conducted by the Pew Research Center, it is shown that 4 in 10 internet users have been victims of online harassment. 2 in 10 have experienced threats of physical harm. Eric describes what someone should do if they receive death threats over social media.
The internet and social media is not a free-for-all forum, and especially in today's day and age, it can be quite sensitive to speak about certain topics. You should be a bit more cautious in what you say, but that doesn't mean that we do not have freedom of speech. But at the same time, I think we should also encourage or advocate for the state to be more open to different type of speeches, so speeches that you might not agree with. In a situation of death threats, clearly this is not protected by freedom of speech, so that would amount to a criminal offence. I would advise a person to lodge a police report, and then hopefully the authorities would be able to trace the maker of those death threats and call them in for questioning. You know, you're always able to disconnect yourself from social media for a while, but as I said, that is the pros and cons of social media. We shouldn't overstep the boundary in the sense that we must take the pros and the cons of social media, and if you don't like it, you are always free to disengage. So there is no need to regulate everything.
Civil society organizations have criticized Malaysian legislation on offensive speech. In its publication entitled Creating a Culture of Fear, Human Rights Watch argued that the Sedition Act, the Penal Code, and the Communications and Multimedia Act are too broad and that they infringe on freedom of speech. Eric weighs in.
Because of the vague nature of these offenses, it is quite open for the authorities to easily say any sort of controversial speech is therefore offensive. So that shouldn't be the case, because in a democracy, freedom of speech should be paramount, and in only very clearly defined circumstances whereby speech leads to violence, for example, that amounts to serious discrimination or hostility, then those speeches should be outlawed. So otherwise, somebody that's mocking religion, for example, somebody that makes a joke about certain group of people, I mean, I would argue that those type of speeches shouldn't be criminalized. The very essence of criminal law is that there must be fair notice given to the public so that the public is able to govern its conduct. So, for example, it's very clear that you cannot kill someone because there would be murder. So you cannot steal because there would be theft. But when it comes to sedition, if you look under the Sedition Act, what amounts to seditious tendency is extremely vague. Then, of course, if you look at the Communication Multimedia Act, what amounts to a speech that is offensive? Again, that is very vague. So what we have right now in Malaysia is a very large net that is enough to catch all possible offenders, whereby the police and the AG's chamber would be able to charge them in court. And then at the end of the day, it would be the court to step in and say who is rightfully detained and who should be released. So for me, that would be a wrong approach, because before you are able to arrest, detain and charge someone, the offense has to be clearly spelled out.
Eric believes that Malaysia needs legal reform, not just to have a clearer definition of offensive speech, but also to create fairer enforcement for every citizen.
Other than having laws that are more clearly defined, what is also needed are clearer enforcement policies, because currently what we have is a certain type of speech or social media posting that is deemed offensive if it works for a particular group, but it doesn't work vice versa. So, for example, the death of Mr. Karpal Singh. So there were some people who have mocked his death, and no one was actually brought to the book. But recently we saw the death of Harun Din, and we have seen quite a number of people who hauled up. So in reforming the laws to guard offensive comments or speeches that amount to hate speech, I think we also need to relook at the enforcement policies of the police and also the Attorney General's Chamber, so that we have a fairer and more standardized mode of arrest, detention and prosecution.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.